I don't know about you, but it is genuinely exciting just to have people willing to say yes and willing to prayerfully ask the Lord what they might be able to share to encourage us, strengthen us, and have our attention on the Lord. It is nice to be back, and thank you for all your prayers and encouragement, and I do mean that. That bulletin insert that Diane nicely created that talks about the first Thanksgiving, basically most of our information on that comes from an individual named Edward Winslow. He was journaling and keeping a diary, and if it weren't for some of his communication, we really wouldn't know much about that first Thanksgiving, which is uniquely an American holiday. But here's something. How do we live in a reality that Pat was sharing about, and yet God is real? How do we function when life doesn't unfold the way we want, and there's pain, there's heartache, there are physical things, and yet God is real? And I don't know about you, but it seems to be a lot of times when people say, how can I pray for you? 90, I don't know how much percent of my battle tends to be up here and tends to be in here, regardless of what I'm going through physically or emotionally or anything. And I'm thankful for the information we have from that first Thanksgiving, because you may or may not know, about 100 people came over back in 1620. And by the time they were celebrating that Thanksgiving some months later, more than half had died. And in fact, one of the first individuals to have died was Edward Winslow's wife. And I just think life is a choice of who we choose to focus on and what we choose to do with our minds. And if you would, just join me in prayer for the few brief moments that we'll have together. Lord, I am grateful. Grateful for you, the giver of every good and perfect gift. Grateful that you would see me for who I truly am and still desire a relationship with me. That you, Lord Jesus, in a way I will never fully comprehend, were willing to do something amazing, indescribable, beyond comprehension, sacrificially, that you were willing to give your life. You were willing to bear our sin in your body on the cross so that we would have the privilege of experiencing your mercy, your grace, your forgiveness, and to look forward to spending eternity with you. We are so grateful. And so, Lord, in these few minutes, I would ask that the meditations of my heart and the words that come off my lips would be pleasing and acceptable to you. And it's in your name I pray. Amen. To me, it's also neat whenever you think of the songs or people sharing how there is so much in God's Word. Different people drawing upon different verses that minister to them, encourage them, strengthen them. And if you want, you can turn. If you just want to listen afresh, I'm going to primarily be reading out of the New International Version. But 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13, And the focus is thanks verses. And you might have chosen a lot of different ones. But in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13, Paul writes, "And we also thank God continually, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of man, but as it actually is, the word of God, which is at work in you who believe." Excuse me. And I just think what we are privileged to be spending time looking at is the eternal God who has desired to share his heart and his truth. And the joy is that it's God's word, not man's opinion, not man's ideas, God's word. And so the verses I share all focus on thankfulness, but I'm going to jump around a little bit. And 1 Corinthians chapter 15 is just a phenomenal passage. And as it's winding down to an end in that chapter, verse 57 reads, "But thanks be to God. He gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." And nothing more exciting in an athletic culture, not everybody here may be as excited about some of those things, but to experience that thrill of victory. And what is being brought out in 1 Corinthians 15, 57, and all of our enemies, all those things that would defeat us, all those things that would enslave us, God has conquered those through the Lord Jesus Christ. And over in 2 Corinthians, actually Richard referred to chapter 9 of 2 Corinthians. It is an entirely just phenomenal passage, but it's talking about, in addition to that sowing and reaping, how God is all sufficient in what he does. And the problem is not God. The problem is me. And I minimize God's capability, and I minimize God's sufficiency, and I minimize so many things. And yet what Paul's bringing to bear is that when we, by faith, exercise the privilege of obeying and following God, there are numerous verses. I'm just going to touch on them real quick. Verse 11, "You will be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion, and through your generosity, there will result in thanksgiving to God." Basically, verse 12, "This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of God's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God." And there's something in the heart of God that deserves, but I think also desires, for us to go beyond the expression of the gift, beyond the expression of even answered prayer, and to go to him who is the giver of every good gift and responsible for every good gift. And so 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 15 climaxes thinking about Christ, all that he's done. And as a result of that, wow, we are privileged. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 15, "Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift." And if you're like me, this is not a condemnation. I think it's a statement of reality. The distractions in our culture can so easily and quickly get our thoughts and hearts and minds somewhere else. The multitude of voices can get in the way of what's most important. And just jumping back to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, it's thanks be to God because he's given us that victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. And here's the picture. If I really, really grasp who Jesus is, and I really absorb and respond to what he's done for me. I really focus on that. Verse 58 of 1 Corinthians 15. Therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. It's a faith statement, but it's a faith statement based upon the character of God. And really what it summarizes things down to is it's really all about our triune God, Father, Jesus, Holy Spirit. So many powerful verses. I'm going to read one, and then I'm just going to up front let you know I'm going to challenge you with a specific thought. But in Psalm chapter 136, it's encouraging us to give thanks. I'm going to read the first three verses, and they all speak about God in a very personal way. And there's the same refrain throughout all of Psalm 136. But picking up in verse 1, it says, give thanks to Yahweh, that personal, eternal, compassionate, caring, pursuing God. Give thanks to the Lord. The NIV says, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. And again, think back to the original temptation. Satan wants to challenge God's voice. Has God really said? He's offering another voice. And how many of my struggles are listening to a voice other than God's voice? And then he starts to get Eve to question whether God really has her best interest in mind and challenges the character of God. But Psalm 136 says, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. And the refrain is, his love endures forever. If you have a King James, it's his mercy. Other translations, it's his steadfast love. It's the word chesed. And the thought is, here is this God who is so amazing, translators don't know how to translate it. He is faithful to his promises. He is faithful to his character. He is faithful to every aspect of what he offers. And he pursues us. And that love and that covenant loyalty is what enables us to endure. Verse 2, give thanks to the God of gods. I'm not here, don't hear me be harsh. I don't think I'm being harsh. But if we're not careful, our gods can become a house. Our gods can become a car. Our gods can become a retirement account. Our gods can become a vacation we take every year. Our gods can become a multitude of security blankets. And what verse 2 is saying, there is one God. And that's the only God who is faithful to his covenant. Nothing else can come through on their promises. And then he goes on in verse 3, give thanks to the Lord of lords. His love endures forever. Now, if you're like me, I don't have a problem with any of those verses. I really don't. I like them. It encourages me. And what I found, though, is when sometimes God's Spirit turns attention in a more practical way, the truth is I don't like it. And so I'm going to read, and I would just ask you to think about this, because the focus is on thanksgiving. But if I were to just say, would you do me a favor and just take 10 seconds and give me in your heart, don't say it out loud, a personal inventory of your interaction. What would characterize your interaction with people? What would characterize your interaction when you're gathering as a family? What would characterize your interaction when you're just chit-chatting at work or with other people? I'm going to read out of the message because I think sometimes we know it, we've heard it, we've been there, done that, but it doesn't sink in. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 4 in the Message reads this way. Some tongues just love the taste of gossip. Christians have better uses for language than that. Don't talk dirty or silly. That kind of talk doesn't fit our style. Thanksgiving is our dialect. And I'll tell you the reason I don't like it is because if God's Spirit said, I'm coming to lunch with you, which he does, by the way, all the time, and I'm coming to work with you, and I'm coming out in public with you, what would fit the style of the way I talk? I can come up with a multitude of reasons and excuses and justifications, but if I were just doing an inventory, and I like all the verses we've shared on Thanksgiving, but would I say that what fits my style of conversation, I would be characterized by Thanksgiving? I'm actually going to bring things to an end, but I want to do that by asking you to possibly take the time to read in 1 Chronicles chapter 16, if you so choose today. That was actually our main passage, and we're not going to spend much time there. But what I want you to think about in 1 Chronicles 16, just to give a little preempting of it, David is bringing the ark into Jerusalem. And he's setting up, with the ark coming in, a desire to give praise and thanksgiving to God. And so the whole chapter is focused on that. And actually, if you read the chapter, a lot of the verses in that chapter show up in other psalms. But here's what I want you to think about. It is a humongous and phenomenal passage on Thanksgiving and God's amazing character and his provision and his protection and how he is worthy. And yet, here's the backdrop that you may or may not know. When David first tried to move the ark, because David didn't do it in a way that would honor God's holiness, something that even we struggle with, the ark was being moved along and hit a bump in the road, and the ark started to fall off, and somebody, out of concern for the ark, went up and touched the ark to protect it. And this doesn't sit well with most of us. God struck that person dead because of the holiness of his character and because of the concern that he would be viewed for who he is. David was the one who authored that. David could have become a bitter, resentful, angry person at God. And yet David, by his own admission, realized that who was at fault was David, not God. And so David's actually able to turn the corner, readjust his heart, his mindset, his attitude, and come into this psalm of thanksgiving that is absolutely stunning. Another backdrop to this that you may or may not realize, as they're bringing the ark into Jerusalem, some of you may know that they're dancing, they're celebrating. In 1 Chronicles 15, and over in the comparative passage in 2 Samuel chapter 6, what we're told is that David's wife Michal is observing David. And the side note is, she despised him in her heart. But you know, here's the challenge for me. It's easy for me to praise God when my wife loves me well. It's easy for me to praise God when a lot of things are unfolding the way I expect them to. It's easy to thank God when he can allow the challenges that I'm up for, but he doesn't go beyond the boundaries that I set for him. And am I willing to be held accountable for my mind, my heart, my attitude, my tongue, when God is God and I am not, and what I have and what I face and what I experience is not what I want? I'm going to conclude by reading from Psalm 116, and then Gary's going to come up. But in Psalm 116, and I'm not going to read the whole psalm, I'm going to read just a couple of verses. Again, just a powerful, powerful psalm. And I would encourage you maybe just to listen rather than read, because I'm going to jump around and I might lose you and confuse you, or why am I leaving things out? But picking up and reading from Psalm 116, I love Yahweh. I love the Lord. For he heard my voice. He heard my cry for mercy. Because he turned his ear to me, I will call on him as long as I live. Jumping to verse 4. I called on the name of the Lord. Oh, Lord, oh, Yahweh, save me. The Lord is gracious and righteous. Our God is full of compassion. The Lord protects the simple-hearted. When I was in great need, he saved me. Be at rest once more, O my soul, for the Lord has been good to you. And then over to verse 12. How can I repay the Lord for all his goodness to me? I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. O Lord, truly, I am your servant. I am your servant, the son of your maidservant. You have freed me from my chains. I will sacrifice a thank offering to you and call on the name of the Lord. And I would just ask that hopefully today, in some way, you could genuinely offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving to God for who he is, for all that he's done. And I just want to thank everybody who just made this service special this morning.